Glad you're here this evening. It's been a beautiful week, one to enjoy and spend time with family, going out and having good times out in the outdoors. God's creation reminds us not only of His great power, but of the beauty of what lies ahead. Surely if this world is as beautiful as it is, then what we have coming in the future that God has prepared for the faithful will be well beyond the beauty of this life. But it's for those who are a prepared people, a faithful people, people who walk with God. And as we live our lives, none of us are going to be sin-free. After we are baptized into Christ, we'll not live a life that does not include stumbling from time to time. That's going to be a part of our existence. And yet, we see that God, in His mercy and because of His great long-suffering, bears with us and is patient as we make that journey and as we toil, as we labor, and as we strive to overcome and do better. He helps us and He guides us, of course, through His Word. And there are a number of examples in the Scriptures that show us those who were admonished by God and heeded His words and were better afterward as a result. We find that example, the one that we're going to look at tonight, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. As you remember, the Apostle Paul had written to the church in Corinth, had admonished them for their sin of tolerating immorality within the congregation. Instead of dealing with it properly, they had ignored it and were even boastful in regard to certain things. So Paul had took them to task through the Spirit, told them this is what you must do and withdraw from such a one. And then, coming to the second epistle, we see from chapter 2, they had in fact complied with the will of God. And Paul, in the seventh chapter then, begins to discuss their proper response and the fact that sometimes, as was the case with Paul, it's good to be happy when sometimes people are sad. Have you ever been happy for someone to be sad? In this case, that's exactly what Paul was. He was glad. He was happy that they had been sorrowful because their sorrow led them to the proper change of life. So beginning here at verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, "For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while." So He made them sorry in the sense that they were grieved in their hearts. They had this remorse inside. And he says, "I do not regret it," in the sense that it brought about a good result. He wasn't glad, didn't rejoice in the fact that they were grieved, because no one likes to be filled with sorrow. But in this case, because of the reformation of heart that resulted, it was a good thing. And it's a thing that God desires to see as well. This sorrow was brief. It wasn't a lasting sorrow, because it was a sorrow that resulted because their heart could be touched by God's word and the rebuke that they received. And when they changed their ways and they repented of their sin and they did what God told them to do, and the soul that was in sin was saved and restored, then there was cause for rejoicing. Good resulted from it, both on their count and on the count of the one who had been living in sin. Paul says in verse 9, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing." Sorrow of this sort is a beautiful thing. We see children crying, we see them weeping, we want to console them, we want to take it all away, all the bad that they might be going through. In God's case, He doesn't rejoice that His children are grieved, except in the sense that when it is a grief over sin, when we have the response that God initially had when He saw us sin in the first place, then it's a good thing. So we need to have this mindset that the church in Corinth had. We need to have hearts that can receive, as the church in Corinth did, the correction that comes from heaven. We might be sitting down one day in our own homes, in the comfort of our living room, reading the Scriptures, and come across a passage that just makes an impression upon us and makes us realize something in our lives that's amiss. An area in our lives where we have not been faithful to God. And as such, what should our response be? to receive the words of God gladly, to rejoice to know the truth, to realize that this particular truth had been lost to me, or I never knew it, I never realized it. And when it comes to my attention, as Josiah did, to seek to tearfully and humbly turn to God and desire to do what is right. Certainly, the church in Corinth did that very thing. They spiritually made great progress in their backward step out of their forward motion into sin. They stepped back, they went back from that, and they turned in the proper direction and thus made spiritual progress. He points out, Paul does, that they were, though they were sorry, because they were sorry in a godly manner, it was, he says, a good thing. And he explains in verse 10 the nature of it. Godly sorrow, he says, produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Worldly sorrow, then, doesn't bring about a change of heart. Worldly sorrow doesn't make me feel like I am needing to alter my conduct. It doesn't make me feel like I need to draw closer to God. Worldly sorrow has to do with things that are very shallow and insignificant. Godly sorrow, on the other hand, he says, you'll never regret the disposition of heart, the tears, the humility, the change that you have brought about to your life will never be regretted, because he says it's a change that will result in the salvation of your soul. Change is never easy. I remember one preacher years ago talking about the most difficult command to obey of all is the command to repent, to reform your life, to change your ways, particularly when it's been our way for a long time. He says, as he noted their conduct, as he says, look back in what you did, verse 11, observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you. They took action when it was pointed out that they had failed to be faithful to God's will. They took action to take care of their own omissions. It cleared their guilt. Clearing of yourselves, what indignation. You've heard of righteous indignation? They could be indignant about something that they had been indifferent to before, because their heart was now taught. It was informed that, look what we're doing. What it's actually resulting in is a soul, the brother who had his father's wife, persisting in sin. He's going to be lost, and we're doing nothing about saving him. But now the indignation caused them to respond properly. They had a right view of sin. What vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. He says, in all things you prove yourselves to be clear in this matter. They were without guilt now, because as God's people, they responded favorably to the will of God, spoken to them by an apostle who had started the congregation, brought them from darkness to the light of God's word, continued to try to teach them and correct them and keep them on track. And as a result of his efforts and their receptive hearts, a soul is saved, a congregation is well-pleasing to God. This is the difference between, for example, the congregations in the book of Revelation. You read about those and the threat of removing your candlestick, as he would say. The difference is the church in Corinth responded to the teaching, obeyed the will of God. They are an example of what God is willing to do with those whose hearts are receptive to His Word. The same could be true also with the churches in the book of Revelation, that hearing the Word of God and heeding those rebukes that were coming through John, the words of Christ, they could have hope. Their fellowship with the Lord could continue. And so it is not only on a congregational level, but with us as individuals as well. As we search the Scriptures each day, do we have hearts receptive to God's tender calls, to his words of admonition at times as he speaks to us? Is our heart always bound closely to God so that no matter what he tells us, we're going to do those very things that will bring us ever closer to him? Things that in life may be difficult, but things that lead to salvation. We'll never regret doing the right thing. Tonight you may not be a Christian. The right thing to do, of course, is to submit to the Lord in obedience, learning from his word how it is that you must be saved. Set aside the teachings that you might have heard from individuals who tell you all you have to do is just believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's something that is popular, that you commonly hear, but the Bible shows us actually it's different. It's not the same. God's plan is this. You have to believe in Jesus Christ, yes, that he's the Son of God, but you have to turn away from sin. You can't continue to live as one who is a sinner. We have to confess our faith in Jesus Christ, and we have to be baptized. You must be immersed in water to be forgiven of your sins. The act of obedience is there in baptism. The act of cleansing sin involves the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we obey the command to be baptized, God applies the blood of his Son, sins are washed away, and we are added to the church. And it's the church we read about in the Bible. If you have already obeyed God's plan and you are a child of God, faithfully serving him, continue diligently to do just that each and every day. Keep overcoming so that your heavenly home can be received one day. If you're weak and struggling, though, if you've been going through things that are a trial to your life, if you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, you know we'd be happy to help you at this time as we stand and sing.